Hi, this is Didier Bedu, president of the EDAC, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
And this, Ciderville, is episode number 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Wincaller and I am your Cider MC on this weekly podcast where we are speaking to cider makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week we are in France speaking to the president of EDAC, which are the folks who are responsible for Cider, Calvados, and Pomu. It's an association, and they have it going on there. So we'll be speaking to Didier Bedu in a moment. 50 episodes. Holy smokes. That is something, huh? I'm feeling pretty darn good about that. I haven't hit the one-year mark for Cider Chat. That'll be in 2 weeks, and I can't really say I'm going to do something special because I'm just trying to keep up with all the chats I'm doing. But I do know, whatever chat it will be, it's going to be good. And dang-o, one thing I've been thinking about is really setting up a little program, a podcast, and maybe a little bit of blog work or something or a pamphlet on how to be a cider tourist, because that is what I have been doing ever since I started this whole podcast. It's kind of touristing around, and for whatever reason, I have this unique experience as a podcaster because many of my chats are in person, which is kind of unheard of. Most of the time, you're just doing Skype. But that has lent itself for me to be right in the orchard, right out there, and know what it's like to go and visit those tasting rooms and start making a little bit of a diary of what works and how to be as well prepared as possible to make that experience go well. So if you feel like, hey, you know, that would be a good thing to do, let me know and give me a shout out and say, yeah, I want that. I want to know how to do cider tourism and do that well. Because I'm kind of scratching my head and thinking, you know, this could just be a standalone podcast, you know, for Asturias, for Normandy, or just traveling around the U.S. of A. Ooh, I just get shivers thinking about it. I'm just kind of happy with it. It is breaking the bank. I'm happy about it, but I'm kind of freaked out a little bit too because I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. Oh man. Oh, but I do believe in the apple, and I believe in the good support of this community, so I know folks are going to come through. Much like Current Cider of Percy, Pennsylvania, who joined immediately as soon as I put out that call for commercial cider makers, Joe Getz at Current Cider stepped right up to the plate. So that was amazing. And also Danielle Von Schreiner at Big Apple Hard Cider, that is a New York City cidery, kicked in some dough for me to be able to get, boy, some lodging in Asturias. I can't wait to talk about that whole Asturias scene in Spain that I went to. I learned so much, but we're still in Normandy, so we're going to just have to bide our time and take a couple tours around the world before we get there. So hang on to your hats. But what I do want to say, if you like to support Cider Chat and you want to do it indirectly and you can't send any money because money's tight, well, ask for those two cideries, both Current Cider and Big Apple Hard Cider, wherever you are. That's a nice way to support the cider makers who support promoting cider around the world. There are just so many win-wins here, and some of those are the new folks who have joined the Cider Chat Facebook page. A lot have been coming in as I've been away on my travels, and I just want to take a moment to thank each and every one of you. I'd like to thank Linda Chapp and Jake from Massachusetts, and Lorenzo. He is from Catalonia in Spain. This man is an agricultural engineer, and he is going to be on an upcoming Cider Chat. Super stoked about that. Have some very, very interesting things that they're doing there and some amazing cider. We also have Alicia, and we have Andrea, who looks like she's into cider making. We also have John Park and Michael, who is from Montana. Scott, who is a consultant at Pampered Chef, and we know they're all about making good food for people. I wonder, Scott, if you have any good turkey and cider recipes that you could share for the Pick Cider campaign that the United States Association of Cider Makers are kicking out right now to get folks really right on thinking about buying cider for Thanksgiving. It's a big push to really help cider keep on going up in the U.S. And then we also have Addie, who is an orchardist in Colorado. And then we have a page that liked Cider Chat, and that is Core Pour. And you can check them out. This is their website. It is the Core, C-O-R-E, Pour, like you're pouring something out of a bottle, .com. And on Saturday, November 12th, they're having a hard cider tasting and music festival. There's also going to be food, and that's in Santa Paula, California. Pretty neat. I'm going to put that on the events page for Cider Chat. I want to make a little mark here so that gets in there. Nice stuff. And then we also have Ichiriyama Farm from Japan. This is a cider maker from Japan. I'm really, really excited that you joined the Cider Chat Facebook page. I could see all the writing is in Japanese. And if my sister-in-law was here, she'd be able to read it for me, but she's not. She's in California, in that part of Ciderville. However, I am very excited to say that the Cider Chat with Marie from Japan will be coming up very shortly. So stay tuned for that. And also Oscar from Mayador, that is a cidery in Asturias. And I spoke to Oscar, and he'll be coming up also on upcoming chat. We have Bart from Poland. Now, Bart is a cider maker. He's with Slow Flow Group. And I had a nice little chat with him. That'll also be coming up on a Cider Chat. Man, that's like four podcasts right there. I think I could do this bi-weekly. I don't know if you can, but I think I could. And if you want that, keep on supporting Cider Chat. We have McRae, who joined the Facebook page, and Jen, and Redactor. Not sure who that is, but also joined too. We have Luke from Minnesota, who's been chiming in on the Facebook page. Thank you for that. We have Brian and Joshua. And we have also Jordana and Mike, and they own Beerology. And I want to make a little mention of that right now because on, let's make sure the date is November 4th at Beerology. That's in Northampton, Massachusetts. I am going to be doing a live recording with the cider maker from Tilted Shed in California. That'll be in the afternoon, so stay tuned for more details as we get a little bit closer in just the coming weeks. If you're coming through, I'm probably going to put a little event invite thing to come up. That's going to be right on route to Cider Days. And remember, I did a full podcast all on Cider Days and the schedule. Fun stuff happening there. So they are the owners of Beerology. Oh, man, oh, man. I just feel so much abundance in this land. I would just like to feel the abundance in the other way to keep the podcast going. So, yeah, donate. Okay, let's take a little break here. I'm going to get ready, and then we're going to start rolling into this week's chat with Didier Bedu. Alrighty now, well, that just gets me psyched up and kind of the pace that I met Didier Bedu at. The Nose and I were traveling into Normandy. Early in the day, we had spent a very nice morning with Agathe Letier, as I mentioned earlier, and that is on episode 48. And we were running a little bit late, and she had said, you know, are you going to have any lunch? And I'm thinking, well, lunch, I mean, it's hard enough to figure out how to order lunch. There's not too many fast food places between her location and where Monsieur Bedu is located. We're 20 minutes south, I guess. fact, there was no places to stop, really, for food. And she was kind enough to offer us a little bit of lunch. That was having us run late. I didn't have a cell phone. We arrived, and we were just kind of rolling right into it. So we met him in the parking lot. He came out and said, let's go up to the apple orchard. So I jumped in the front seat, the nose jumped in the back, and we headed up to the apple orchard. And this particular chat I have in like two different parts. And this part one this week is specifically on his position as a president for EDAC, and that is the French organization called Interprofession des Appellations Cidricoles, and that is the appellation for Calvados, Pomu, and Cider. And this is a pretty big organization that's been kind of setting the standard for a long time for these three different sectors. I talked specifically with him about Calvados and Pomu. And if you don't know what that is, he will be explaining it. But the short answer is Calvados is like an apple brandy. That's what we call it in the U.S. And there's a certain aging period for it, as there is for Pomu, which is a blend of the Calvados and apple juice, that must of apple juice. Very interesting stuff. He works specifically with that with his own brand, but for this particular chat, he did not want to talk about that brand because he felt it would be kind of mixing the two worlds together, and that's a separate thing. So he's totally just representing EDAC in this chat. We met him in the parking lot. We headed straight off to the apple orchard immediately, and you could hear us walking about. I did a little bit of editing because we couldn't help we'll talk about the two different things, both his brand at the Chateau and EDAC. So I separated a bit. We met there, and then we headed up into his office for a sit-down with he and I as the nose walked about and took photos. So a lot there. There will be photos of him, and then there'll be a separate chat coming up, probably not next week, but coming up on his actual distillation of the Calvados and Pomu for his brand at the Chateau. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I'm very excited to bring to you Monsieur Didier Bedu, president of the Interprofession des Appellations Cidricoles for France. So let's grab a glass and join this chat right now as we walk about the apple orchard and discuss the happenings in this region of France.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Ria.
Okay, I'm Didier.
If we're talking about the association,
yeah.
How many members are in the association, and how is that set up?
It's an association, but it's also another name called an interprofession. So it's something totally interprofessional.
Yes.
And we represent the 320 producers of Calvados producers. 320.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they elect 30 members or 28 members. This is the board of the association. Mm-hmm. And the member, they elect a president and different colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we represent all the producers. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And is that just for Normandy?
Yes, because Calvados comes from Normandy.
Normandy, so, not Brittany.
For Pomo, we have some Breton members representing the Pomo de Bretagne of Brittany.
Okay.
Okay. And Pomo du Maine. There are three names for Pomo, three appellations.
Okay. So the one is what?
Pomo de Normandy, then Pomo de Bretagne, then Pomo du Maine.
We arrived in the orchard, and Didier began to speak about the apple varieties used by makers of Calvados and Pomme.
You can see different colors because there are many varieties, mm-hmm, and families
And all the apples, they are classified in five families. Sweet, bitter, acid, okay? Mm-hmm. Sour and sweet sour. And all these families, they are planted together in the apple, in the orchards. And of course, we have apple varieties coming from these five families. And it's common to all the producers.
All the producers.
Because the sweet apple will bring the sugar. Bitter will bring some tannin, mm-hmm. and acid will bring acidity. And we need all these criteria together to get a very stable cider, and also with some alcohol degree inside, mm-hmm. Given by the sugar. So that's why we use... There are more than 800 apple varieties in Normandy to get cider and Calvados. Mm-hmm. Of course, we use, honestly, most of the producers, they use between 50 and 100 varieties, okay? But some names, variety names, are very local. Mm-hmm. So it can be a variety with local to a couple of villages, mm-hmm. a soul name given by the past. And another variety can be very, very similar with another name, with common roots. That's why you have so many names.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, all the apples that a lot of folks in the U.S. are always really interested in that you have very specific to here. But I'm wondering about with the association, and there's the, to be able to get that symbol that says this is qualifies under the appellation,
yeah.
What are the principles of that or the parameters to get that?
This is a specificity of French product. You know, it's a mm-hmm. big debate especially with USA.
Oh, with the
because
USA, okay.
France is specialized to have protected and controlled appellations. We only in the wine and spirits in France, we have more than 260 controlled appellations. Mm-hmm. So just to protect the name and the know-how and the region, etc., etc. So
right.
It's very typical for France. You have about the same in Italy and Switzerland and a few in the Nordic countries. Mm-hmm. They are inspired by the French system.
Yes, this is true.
Even the Greek with the feta.
Yes.
Or with or the spirits or so, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. This is very specific. Then to get the approval of an appellation, it's a very long process. It takes years to be approved by the French administration, so the Ministry of Agriculture. And okay. Then now there is a second approval in front of the European Commission in Brussels.
Okay. So that goes through the French government, then up to Brussels.
Yeah.
And where does your role come in and your association?
The role of the producers is to propose and to write the criteria of the appellation.
Okay.
The territory, the, for example, the apple varieties, mm-hmm. the territory, the distillation process, aging process, to fix the rule, to write the rules that comes from the past, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to write down on paper how it has been made, why it has been made so, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and where does it come from, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera, and how it must be made in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Then if a producer decides to do a Calvados today, if he wants to build a company and mm-hmm. make Calvados, he has a big, not big, but he has a
big enough
long taste,
yes.
text, where he will find all the things he has to follow mm-hmm. to get the permission to produce a spirit that could be called Calvados.
Calvados.
Yeah.
Is there a short list of, like, key parameters to be labeled as Calvados? Like, is it specific to the apples?
It's specific to three main criteria.
Okay.
The first is
I would say the easiest is the territory.
Territory, yes, of course.
You can do Calvados in that area, not near Paris, not in the south of France, not in Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
This is a territory.
Sure.
Okay. And you explain why. And for example, here the soil is very fat clay,
mm-hmm.
clay.
Yes.
Okay. And adapted to the culture of apple trees. Okay. So the territory. And mm-hmm. why is this territory? And why not the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the apple varieties. Local, coming from centuries ago. They've mm-hmm. always been there. And that's why Calvados has this taste. Okay?
So specific varieties that have been used in France.
Yes.
That's it.
From centuries.
Right. It's not that the tree has to be a certain age. It's just that specific.
No. The varieties.
The varieties. Okay. The varieties. Right. Okay.
And then the third criteria is how to distill it. What sort of material? What sort of still? And, for example, what should be or what must be the alcohol degree when it's come out from the still? Then how it ages. What sort of wood? Why? Size of the wood? Proportion of the small cask or not?
Mm-hmm.
Etc. Everything is written down and you must follow that.
Mm-hmm.
It's give. It can, you can feel it as very difficult. It is, but it gives some liberty too. Together.
In what way? Where's some of the liberty?
Because, you have a list of varieties,
mm-hmm.
okay? But they don't tell you...
Which ones to use.
Which one and how mm-hmm. many and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? You must follow... you must have some oak cask, okay?
Sure.
But it's up to you to decide which one you put in,
mm-hmm.
Where, how long, et cetera, et cetera. So... It's very constraining, or you say that?
Has constraints
yeah.
to it, yes.
But together you have freedom and liberty. So it's complicated to explain. Very French.
You mentioned that the piece with the Americans, and what is that about? Is it because Americans are making something and calling it Calvados, or...
Can you repeat the question?
You said something in terms of this is a discussion that we have with the yeah. Americans or...
No, it's a discussion between Europe, France and the FDA or the uh-huh. American Ministry or Foreign mm-hmm. Ministry of USA. Because it's a big debate against the name, okay? They say, we would like to call sparkling wine champagne. And we say, no, it's not possible
right.
because champagne is reserved for
mm-hmm.
France.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
please find another name, okay?
Right, right.
This is always a debate. Or,
right.
For example, the French, even the French, they used to do a goat cheese or and they call it and they wrote feta on the label. This is totally forbidden now. Feta must come from Greece. So even in Europe, inside Europe, you cannot.
No.
If we do a goat cheese in not a goat, this I don't,
sheep.
Yeah. Yes. The
yeah.
The
a sheep.
The woman.
the women is the women.
The female.
The female sheep.
Yeah. You cannot call it
the ewe.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. You cannot call it, even if you do that in France, you cannot call it feta because feta is Greek.
Okay.
If they do brandy in wine brandy in Germany or in even in Greece,
mm-hmm.
they can't call it cognac because cognac comes from the cognac region.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a debate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you been seeing U.S. producers wanting to call their product Calvados? Has that?
No, not in U.S., but... Yeah.
In other regions of the
world. I've seen some U.S. producer wanted to call Pomo a sort of aperitif made with apple juice and apple brandy.
Mm-hmm.
But you in USA, you have the Apple Jack, for example. Apple Jack is the apple brandy from USA.
Actually, Applejack in the U.S. would be where you make cider and you put it out in the winter to freeze and all the water.
But I had a couple of glasses of apple spirit in USA from Vermont. They do that in Vermont.
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 Yeah, the state of Vermont.
They make an ice cider.
Also, but right. They also distill some cider.
Distill some cider.
Yeah.
I know. There is a cidery that I know does distill. Yes, right. So what about that, Bamu? And is that word also, like, considered?
Ah, yes, totally protected.
Protected. Yeah. So really that you're saying that the Americans should be finding their own
name for it. And protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right.
You should. For example,
yes,
Kentucky bourbon.
Kentucky
is
bourbon,
a bourbon,
right,
coming from Kentucky.
Right.
Even if here in Europe someone does bourbon, he cannot call it Kentucky bourbon.
Uh-huh.
Because Kentucky bourbon is American. That's the whole point.
Sure.
Find another name.
Then that's part of terroir, and that's part of the beauty of that region.
Yeah.
Right, 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 right. Yes, yes. How about the word cider?
Cider is universal. But cider from Pays d'Auge or cider with another region, this is no more universal.
Right, right. So in your role and working with the association, how are you promoting both Calvados, Pamu, and cider? Because you also,
I explain that in my office.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah,
so.
Is it okay for the pictures?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Thank you so much.
Can a distillery make something that would be, if it was approved, like Calvados, but call it a different name in France? You know, but they didn't go under the auspices of the association, so they are distilling
in another region.
Well,
for example, they do some in Brittany,
mm-hmm,
some people distill cider.
Okay.
But they don't call it Calvados. They cannot, so they call it Fin de Bretagne or...
Oh, okay.
They have another name.
Right, they have another name.
Or the taste, or the name.
Right. Let's just talk about what Calvados is, just to listeners who don't know what that is. What's the short definition of Calvados?
Yes, the definition of Calvados is a distillation of apple of cider. Okay, then age in casks during a minimum of 2 years, and maximum. There's no maximum, in fact.
Right.
Okay, and following a very strict rules, I explain you.
Mm-hmm.
Before.
Right, yes.
Okay. So this is, for one sentence, what is Calvados?
Right.
Okay, but it can be one book.
So it could be a long conversation, I'm sure. And Pamu, how would you explain
Pamu
that?
Pamu is an aperitif or a dessert wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mixture between fresh apple juice and Calvados, young Calvados,
mm-hmm,
then age a minimum of 18 months in cask. Oak cask.
Okay. Oak.
And the alcohol percent must be between 16 and 18.
So that's very specific, volume. Very specific there.
Yeah. And there's no added sugar. So the sugar comes from sweet apples. And sugar, so the fermentation is blocked by the addition of young Calvados.
Mm-hmm.
So the mix, the blend,
mm-hmm,
between the fresh juice and Calvados is made the next day after the pressing, the apple pressing.
Mm-hmm.
So the sweet apple juice doesn't have the time to ferment, okay? Then all the sugar is still inside, and then the fermentation is blocked by the Calvados coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it makes you a very natural product with natural sugar. Nothing is added, in fact. There.
Nothing added?
No.
With the pumpkin? Right.
No.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the difference with a liquor, where in a liquor you had some sugar. Okay? Mm-hmm. Pomo is not a liquor. It's like a fortified wine or mm-hmm. a natural fortified wine. Mm-hmm. Sugar comes from the apples. And the varieties are more sweet than for Calvados because we need some sweetness.
After visiting the orchard and discussing some of the aspects of Calvados and Pomu, we returned to his office to sit down for a longer chat, and I began by asking him about cider.
Are you also overseeing cider?
Only the control appellation cider.
Okay.
There are now there are several. There are the cider from the Pays d'Auge, cidre du Pays d'Auge, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you have cidre de Cornouailles, which is in Brittany.
Okay.
And a very new appellation called cidre Cotentin, which is in the Manche department in the northwest from Normandy.
Oh.
It's an appellation that is a baby born because it's only 2 months.
Only 2 months?
Yes.
How? Wow. And how many cider makers are in
there? I would say a little less than 20.
Wow. Yeah. And so why has it taken this long for them to kind of get on board?
It took them 10 years to apply for a new appellation, uh-huh. and they had to write down what they do and how they do it and mm-hmm. why it's specific, why the taste is specific, mm-hmm. why this cider is different from the other ciders.
Mm. And when that is being separated, and getting back to the terroir, what is the differences from the regions, from Normandy to Brittany to the three different regions that you spoke about?
Because the soils are different. Mm-hmm. Brittany has a very stony and granite mm-hmm. soil with the weather is different.
Right.
The apple varieties are different. Mm-hmm. So distillation process is different. Then the result is different.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So just really looking at that terroir of the land and the space. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you take, for example, the Chardonnay vineyard mm-hmm. or the Chardonnay variety, variety. Mm-hmm. Or the Sauvignon variety. Mm-hmm. You have all the Sauvignon from the different countries. They are quite different with similar roots, mm-hmm. but they are not similar. Mm. So because of the territory, because of the weather, because of the soil. Mm. So Sauvignon from Sancerre is totally different from Sauvignon from Washington State or from Chile or from Australia.
Right.
Because of that.
Right.
That makes the Sauvignon or that makes it very interesting.
Right, and unique. Yes.
And unique.
Sure. Yeah. So the association has been in place for how long?
It was after the World War II, so it's about 60 years or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long have you been in your position?
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's elected responsibility to do that, right?
Just to be the Zachman, spokesman and represent the interests mm-hmm. of the profession in front of some officials mm-hmm. or administration mm-hmm. or press or...
Right.
Or be able to speak with some people at the Ministry of Agriculture mm-hmm. and to take the defense of what we do and promote that
right.
And explain what we do and do some programs.
So I imagine that there's like legislation that goes through sometimes, or at this point maybe that's not such an issue.
Yes, legislation. Sometimes we change some details or we want to improve something. The main key points is what we want to do always is to improve the quality. So if we think that to improve the quality we should do that, we ask if we can change that to because we can prove that it improves the quality.
Right.
Otherwise, we don't change anything.
Right.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a big impact for tourism to have the production of these products in these regions. It's huge.
Yes, for sure.
And not just for the chateau itself, but, you know, for all the other hotels and everything.
Yes, but in fact, what we call spirit tourism in France. So, because in France you can visit many, many distilleries. Mm. I would say about maybe 20 or 30 only for Calvados. But if you go to Cognac, you can visit dozens. And if you go to liquor producers, you also can visit them. Mm-hmm. If you go to Armagnac, you can visit them. If you even the fruit spirits in Alsace or so. Mm-hmm. And all these visitors, they represent 1.3 million visitors a year. Okay?
1.3 million visitors per year.
Visiting the French region. Distilleries. No, the French distilleries.
The French distilleries. Okay.
Here in Normandy, we estimate that we welcome every year around 150,000 visitors.
Not bad. Especially in the different climates of the economic climate right now.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And for so many new associations starting up around the world, a big piece of that is education and promotion to the consumers.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, what does IDAC do to continue to promote? Because as an American coming here and trying to find out the information, it's a little daunting to try to find, okay, do I just follow the cider route? What if I just have 2 days to get off at Charles de Gaulle? And can I go to a store in Paris? Like, what are those stores? Where do I touch down? Or can I only come if I have a week? Or can I only do it if I do an immense amount of research? So these are the things I think that is really exciting for the enthusiasts right now for all of those three products to find out, how do I get to France and feel that it's accessible? So I'm wondering, what does IDAC do to, and how much time is spent on that?
Then it's not especially, though IDAC communicates to the press for generic things, even spirit tourism, but then it's beside the work of all the brands. So the companies themselves also communicate to the consumer or through their websites or through their Facebook pages or etc. etc. But there is a structure in Normandy that gathers everything, is what we call the sort of tourism board of Normandy. And they have websites very documented, full of information. They can give you all the names of the distilleries open to visitors, and they list a lot of hotel, restaurants, where you can eat, where you can sleep, where everything is written on, monuments, museums, everything. So, of course, if you prepare your trip to Normandy, just have a look to all this information available on the internet and prepare your trip, because Normandy is wide, in fact, so you cannot jump from one place to the other side of Normandy in 1 hour. It can take you 3 or 4 hours to cross all the Normandy. So if you only have 2 days, please make a choice before and be sure that your program is done to be made in only 2 days.
Well, I think
otherwise you spend your time driving on the roads.
Driving, and you have to go slow because because the speed limit is at a certain
speed limit.
Yes.
Or we have some motorways, but we also have very small roads. And the best way to enjoy Normandy is to take the small roads.
That's true.
Then you see the beautiful housings, the apple trees, the cows, the cattle, the milk, the dairy product, and everything we have here. So,
right. Now, in the past, I'm going to even shorten it. Some people say the past 10 years, but I've been involved in cider for over 20 years. I've seen in the past 5 years an incredible uptick in interest in the U.S. on that. And the growth in the cider industry has been phenomenal. And of course, you know, people are making what we would call apple brandy, and we're seeing that happening. I'm wondering, is your organization seeing that same type of excitement from tourists at this point? Are you seeing that American tourist who's coming here specifically for the Calvados, Pomme, and cider at this
point? I would say the American tourists, when they come to Normandy, they come for three things. First, history. The D-Day beaches, the cemeteries, the all the historical sites of Normandy.
Right.
Then they want to enjoy the food and drinks.
Okay, right.
And the third part would be the nature and the culture. So so they come for all these points.
Right.
If you come here in June, where it's the month of the celebrations, you see more and more American tourists. We had in the past a lot of veterans. Now we have the children of the veterans.
They
come to visit where their parents or grandparents fighted or sadly were killed or injured or I don't know. They come for that, but of course it's a long time ago, so they only they also want to enjoy the green Normandy, the nature, and the good food, the very healthy. In fact, what we see is a trend in France, but also in I'm sure in America. I've seen that in USA. There is a trend for healthier things than before.
Okay.
And here in Normandy we have very healthy food, in fact. Despite it contains some cream and butter.
Who says that's not healthy? But anyways.
And cheese.
Right. You certainly do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering about that because certainly we're losing a lot of the World War II veterans. We have the children, and you know, the human nature is kind of a short-term memory, so that has been like a real celebrated area to come to. But I'm more curious about that cider tourist that we're seeing in the U.S., which is just skyrocketing in the same way that the beer tourists went to Bruges and Belgium and Brussels was really driving the craft beer industry in the U.S. And I have a feeling, I'm just wondering if Normandy is ready to receive all the American apple enthusiasts who are just passionate to come here.
For sure.
Specific for
why,
that.
Why should it be the contrary?
Right, of course. So with that said, you know, I did go online and I went trying to research, and still it feels a little daunting coming as a tourist and trying to find that information and where to go to, and because we could be very myopic, you know, very one focus of that two-day trip. How does the average, you know, person who maybe will just have a short amount of time going to, like, where do you find Calvados? Is it only in, like, liquor stores? Where do you, is there, like, a place that, like, in the U.S. we have specific, just cider bars. They don't serve anything else.
No, and we don't have that in France.
Or just Calvados.
No, we don't have that in France because France is a very, very big producers of wine and spirits, so in the bars you can find everything. Okay,
yes, right.
So we don't have really dedicated bars for cider or for Calvados. Of course, the consumption of Calvados is higher in Normandy than in the other French region, for sure.
Of course.
But here you can have a pastis, or you can have a whiskey, or you can have everything. It's the same in the south of France. I can get a Calvados. Okay,
yes, right.
For sure, the volumes will not be the same.
Right.
So the local consumption is much higher, for sure.
Mm.
But there's no dedicated bars, no real.
And how about festivals? Like, we have many dedicated cider festivals. Like you go there and they split it up into different sessions. And
there are a couple of events in Normandy and Brittany where the theme of the day or of the 3 days is can be apple or cider. Yes.
Right.
It is, yes. It's possible. Yes, it happens.
And what time of year do those festivals take place? Or maybe
they take place, I tell you, in June, mainly in June or July, because there are summer days. There is one thing in end of June that corresponds to the period where the days are longer.
Sure. The solstice, June 21st.
Where it's nice to enjoy, especially in Brittany, where you can have light until more than 11 in the evening.
So. That makes it easy to.
So it's very, if the weather is fine, it's very nice to sit down outside and enjoy a dinner and calvados and cider glasses and eat local things and maybe can be music festival or there's a jazz festival in a city called Coutances. And the name of the festival is Jazz Sous les Pommiers. It means jazz under the apple trees.
Lovely. I love that. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Calvados, you said Pommiers is considered an aperitif. How do people typically drink Calvados? At what point?
Calvados has traditionally been consumed as a digestive after a meal. Mm-hmm. But now we have a new trend where we see more and more Calvados drunk in a cocktail. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or maybe for some Calvados also has an aperitif. Maybe mixed or with ice cubes or developing. This has been developing since the last 10 years.
Developing.
Yeah.
And
We organize, for example, at the EDAC, but it's only for Europe, but okay. We organize cocktail championships. With using Calvados, okay, and
European countries. That's great.
We work with the IBA, so our International Bartender Association, and so we do a sort of pro-am competition, so with national finals. Then the winner of the country comes to fight against the other countries. Normally for an international final, and they compete with Calvados cocktails. So.
Fantastic.
And we see a very growing interest in the bartenders all around the world for Calvados used as an ingredient for a nice cocktail.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Lovely. And what is a typical alcohol by volume for Calvados?
Typical is 40-41.
40-41, okay.
But it's not forbidden to have some single cask or cask-strength Calvados. It's also a very interesting aspect. If you have sometimes a producer can find a cask that he considers as too good to be blended, okay, then he says, this is exceptional. I should sell it like that. A single cask, Calvados, cask strength, maybe non-reduced with distilled water. And there can be a lot, very limited edition of hundreds of bottles. And then it's sold to a specific type of customers or specific country or specific consumers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what would be the tasting notes for someone who has never had Calvados and is listening to you now and is getting out in the car and driving to it and they want to try it? What are they looking for? What is the profile that you're looking for when tasting Calvados?
They look for fruit. They look for the fruits, for the apple, because Calvados is unique and Calvados is the only apple spirit, in fact, with this reputation in the world. So it's a brandy, but with apple. So it's not from grape, okay? That's why it makes it unique in Europe, okay? So the consumer looks for the fruity side. Okay, always present. So even if you, okay, if you have a young Calvados 2-year-old, it's very easy to have this fruity side. But what is interesting is that despite the long aging, you never lose this fruity aspect and fruity side. That makes the Calvados unique.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
So and it can be woody, spicy, mm-hmm. With a lot of different aromas after 20 years of aging,
mm-hmm.
but the fruity side will still be there.
Mm-hmm. And to serve it in what kind of glass? For
Tulip glass, or if you drink it neat, yes, glass or round glass, okay. With sort of can be adapted.
Mm-hmm. When you say neat, with no ice, then?
No ice. No.
Right.
No.
And to be savored, it's not like a shot glass.
No.
No.
Drink it slowly. Enjoy the length of the power and the length of the product, mm-hmm. That will explode on your palate and enjoy all the fragrances and aromas, mm. and taste and no.
Mm-hmm.
Slow drinking.
That kind of rounded glass, it could really smell that.
And combine it with a lot of things. If you have it as a digestive,
mm-hmm.
you can enjoy, of course, a cup of coffee, which is very traditional.
Mm.
But why not to try a piece of cheese or a square of chocolate. If you're a smoker, please go outside and enjoy a cigar,
mm-hmm.
With your Calvados.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many, many ways to enjoy the consumption of Calvados. Mm-hmm.
And if you had like a 2-year-old Calvados, is that one that you would say?
A 2-year-old Calvados.
Would be pretty young.
Please mix it, cook with it,
mm-hmm.
make a lot of nice recipes. On the EDAX website, we have a couple of recipes published.
Yes.
Mix it, do cocktails.
Yes.
Or drink it neat,
mm-hmm.
to give you something very fresh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many ways to enjoy. Same.
So what year are you looking at to really have it as... How many years are you looking at it to be aged so that you don't want to just cook with it, but you actually want to just sit back and savor it?
You can cook with a 50-year-old Calvados,
that's true,
but
yes.
It will cost you more.
That's true.
And it's a little... okay, it's comfy. In term of turnover for us, I can enjoy, but in term of reason, it's not maybe the best choice to do.
Sure. So, are you looking at like a 5-year-old? Is that, people...
I would say 2 years old or 4 years old, you can cook. But after 6 years, I would advise to drink it.
Yes, okay.
Instead of cooking.
Good advice.
But we know a couple of places that do incredible cocktail with 15-year-old Calvados. But these cocktails are maybe more short drinks,
mm-hmm.
spicy before dinner, and can be very interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
of course, the price is different. It costs you more than a simple cocktail. But,
right.
But it's also possible. Everything is possible.
Yeah, sure. if you have the right ingredients, anything's possible.
And enough money.
Well, no money, no funny, no Calvados, as I say. Vamoo. Well, that's wonderful. I really appreciate you talking to us about the association. And I know folks have been really curious about where the direction is going in France and the larger world view on this.
The missions of the association there are several missions. First, we collect some fees collected on every bottle. So there is a small tax that is given to the EDAC to finance EDAC's activities.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then with this money, we do different actions. First is we finance technical researches, okay, with laboratories, and the target is the improvement, constant improvement of the quality.
Mm-hmm.
we advise the producer to help them to have the best quality as possible. we give some documents, we publish a result of some surveys just to improve the quality. Another mission will be to publish some statistics and give information of what is made and etc. etc. And the third mission is promotion. Promotion, meet people, meet the press, explain what we do, and give some find some specific action as a cocktail competition I told you, or make some event in European countries. Or be behind some actions to come as a support behind the action made by the different brands and the different companies. So what we do is more neutral, it's generic, and it is a support to the marketing budgets paid by the brands. Must not be the same, it must be a compliment.
Right. Perfect. Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
I would like to thank Monsieur Bidou for spending that lovely afternoon in September 2016 with myself and the Nose and discussing the criteria around an appellation. And the appellation is really that label that says this is where it originates from. This is the terroir. And this is why we designate this a Calvados. This is why we designate this a Pomus and also a cider from this region. And the script that one has to follow. And how cool is it that we found out that there is just a new recent group of cider makers, all 20, out on the peninsula of the northwest section of Normandy. And that is really just kind of hovering over Brittany. A new appellation, they're just 2 months old. Very cool indeed. And along with a new appellation for France, I have some news for the U.S. I think some fun news for anyone on this side of the puddle. I got this email from Ethan, and let me read a bit of it. Hi, Rhea. Yes, I have been listening to Cider Chat from the beginning. I would personally like to thank you for all your hard work that you put into this tremendous resource. I have found the podcast truly helpful in tapping into the wealth of knowledge of cider makers out there and bringing us a little bit closer together as we build on this generation's awareness and appreciation of such a wonderful, unique craft beverage. Right on, Ethan. My wife and I are not in the game yet. We are currently planning on starting a cidery in Fargo, North Dakota. Hoo-wee, Fargo! I have been in Fargo. And, well, kind of passing through, I worked in Jamestown. I mean, it's just an amazing area. And he wrote he was in Seattle. They visited Capital Cider and were completely inspired. Go Capital Cider, go Capital Cider. That is a cider bar there. And along with making small batches of our own cider, we have decided to sell other brands and products from our upper Midwest region. So they are making cider, they want to offer mead, wine, some beer, and kombucha. That is also a fermented product, good for you drink. But cider will be the focus, so become North Dakota's first cider bar. Okay, I could hear the hands clapping around the world. So that's neat. I mean, can you imagine, like, here I am talking to the president of France's appellation, you know, control, the interprofessional grouping, that scene there. And I ask, is there a cider bar in France? And the answer is no. You look into the U.S. and there is going to be a stinking cider bar in Fargo, North Dakota. Now, if you haven't been to North Dakota, that is a state that has about 685,000 residents. That's under a million people, and they're going to have a cider bar. If there could be a cider bar in Fargo, North Dakota, Ciderville, there can be a cider bar on every corner in every street. Let the cider start flowing. And that just made me so happy. So, Ethan, stay in touch. We are cheering you on and really hoping that it comes to fruition on your end. That just makes me happy, happy, happy. Another thing that makes me happy is a small group called We Are PR. They do social media marketing for small businesses. So, Ethan, you might want to think about it, and other small startups, other small businesses might want to check that out. There's a link to wearepr.co at the Cider Chat webpage and on the show notes to this episode, a number of 50. Oh, I am just shaking in my boots. So much happiness in Ciderville, and there is abundance. So let's keep on pouring that abundance out in each other's glass. That about wraps it up on this end. Until next week, this is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Going up. Yeehaw!